Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go in our Bibles to Jeremiah 29 tonight.
Amen.
Jeremiah 29. We'll start there, and we may look at some other things, other scriptures tonight. We'll see. But we'll begin Jeremiah 29. I want to talk to you tonight about this, and you'll get some more understanding of what I'm talking about. But I want to talk about never surrender.
Amen.
And I'm going to talk about never surrender to the enemy's plan. And during the beginning days of World War II, most of us that are a little older, or maybe they still talk about it in schools today, I don't know. About Winston Churchill, Prime Minister of England, and his speech to rally the nation. Because at the time, they needed a new Prime Minister. The one before him was a pacifist, and, he just wasn't the right guy for these times. And so, they elected Winston Churchill as their Prime Minister, and by all the accounts of all the experts, England was in trouble and England was going to be defeated. It was just a matter of time before Germany took over, because France couldn't stop them and nobody was stopping them. And so they were pretty certain, all the experts, the war experts and all, were pretty certain this is it, that we're not going to win this one. And then came along Winston Churchill, and he gave some speeches that fired people up, and really rallied the nation. And, of course, the rest is history. They won. But one of his speeches, he made the phrase, "We will never surrender." Yeah. Never. "We will fight," by air, land, sea. "We'll fight in every venue, but we are not going to surrender. We are not going to quit."
Yeah.
We are not going to do it. Yeah. Amen. "And if they come over here and they take us, we got armies on other areas of the world that will come, and we will not surrender." Amen. And so, I don't know, that just kind of went off in me today. I was kind of just like, this morning I'm just praying about the service tonight, about what the preacher teach on. And that just went off in me because, I just didn't have anything. I just thought, I don't have anything this morning. I'll just drink some coffee and we'll see what God says, pray and find out. But I just want to talk about never surrender. Don't ever surrender to the devil's plans. And let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29. I want to read this. I love this scripture. In verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts," this is the Lord talking, he says, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil." And this is the King James says, "to give you an expected end," the New King James, "a future and a hope." But in other words, when it talks about an expected end, it means you're going to give you the end that you're going to have is something that you would want to expect.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Amen. Yeah. One meaning of this could be the thing that you long for. So God's got a good plan for us.
Yes.
I said He's got a good plan for us.
Amen.
His plan is good. And the King James uses the word thoughts. There are a few translations that say plans. Both of them are good because it's thoughts in planning is what it is. God, I'm thinking about you. I'm planning things for you. Well, Jesus told us that the devil's got plans. He said, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." So he's planning your life too. I got news for you, and this may not be comforting to you, but the Bible talks about the wiles of the devil. And that word wiles means tricks or plans. He's got plans for you. And I'll never forget something my pastor said. I'd never thought of that. He says, the devil is not convinced he's lost you. You know what I'm saying? Even though you've left his kingdom, he's not convinced it's over with. He still thinks I can get you back. Remember what Jesus said to Peter? He said, Peter, Simon hath desired to sift you as wheat that he may have you. He wasn't done, he hadn't given up on Peter. He thought, I'm going to get Peter back. Amen. Peter may have left the fishing business. He may follow this prophet from Galilee, but I'm not giving up on Peter. I'm going to get Peter back. Jesus said, I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. Yeah. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know he's praying for us? Yeah. But you notice, see, the devil hasn't given up. And the thing of it is unfortunately, in the times we're living in, I'm actually seeing people, he's getting them back. Over the last year and a half, 2 years, I don't know how many high-profile Christians have left the faith. No, they claim they're no longer Christians. Well, you know, some of them, I wonder where you ever really wanted to start with, you know. Amen. You know, so what do we have here? Well, the devil's got plans for us, but God's got plans for us. And his plans are good plans. His plans are plans of peace. His plans are thoughts of peace, not evil. Did y'all hear me? God doesn't have any plans evil for you. You go to funerals sometimes and you hear the preacher say, well, maybe it's a little baby or a child that's died. And the preacher says, well, God took them. No, no, no. He doesn't have any plans of evil. His plans are good. That didn't come. That Jesus said it. And I don't know how more plain he could make it. He said, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. God's not taking people off this planet before their time. The only ones he's taking are the ones that's ready for them to go, like my grandma. One of my grandmas on my mother's mom, she just left. Just left. She was, Phyllis and I went to the nursing home after she passed on to get her stuff or something, or I don't know what we did. We went there for some reason to get her stuff or whatever. And so we meet with the nursing home director, and he says I don't remember his exact words. He said, it was the neatest thing. He said, she was just talking, and all of a sudden, she's gone. And I thought about the scripture says he takes their breath away. He removes their spirit. In other words, it was time for her to go home. I knew she'd go talking. There wasn't any doubt about that. And they said she'd even been witnessing to somebody that morning, you know, in a nursing home about Jesus, you know. So she was fired up, ready to go. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And so, you know, he didn't kill her with some sickness or disease. He just took her spirit out. It was time for her to go. She just left and just fell over, and that was it. Hallelujah. She never knew. She didn't know she was old anyway. She didn't know. She was 94, and I started to say a hurricane, but I guess hurricanes don't happen in Evans or in Indiana, do they? Well, I guess they do. We had one time come through years ago. I remember that. Amen. It left like 5 inches of rain one afternoon. Some of you weren't alive yet, but anyway, well, some of you were, but you know, it's in the 90s. But you know, a tornado came through Petersburg, and it hit the nursing home where she was at. And here's what she told us. She said, I feel so sorry. She said, I feel so sorry for all these old people. I've been around trying to help them. I'm thought, well, Grandma, you're 94. You're probably the oldest one in this nursing home. I mean, come on. The 96-year-old ones, you helping those old people? What are you doing here? But that's not the way she thought, see, you know. That's a mind of victory, hallelujah. But see, you got to know, man, the devil's got plans for you, but God's got plans for you. And his plans are good plans. His plans are to prosper you. His plans are to bless you. His plans are to heal you. His plans are to give you a sound mind. But the devil's got plans, and it's just going to depend on which plans we accept. Amen? So we got to learn, you know, God's plans are good plans. I said, he's got good plans. God's not planning for us to fail. God's not planning for, you know, churches to fail. They do, but it's not his plan. People accept the devil's plan. Amen. You know, I'm not accepting it. Are you?
No.
I'm not accepting failure.
No.
I'm not going to do it. Now, does that mean we never have any attack or any? No. The devil tries to force his plan on us, but I'm not accepting his plan. Remember what Paul said one time? He said, we would have come to you more than once, but Satan hindered us. Well, I figure if Satan can hinder the Apostle Paul, he can probably hinder Pastor Mark. and you too. But he can't stop us. Notice he didn't say he stopped us, he hindered us. He threw some roadblocks and some obstacles, some things in the way, but we triumphed over him. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, there's nowhere in the Bible that tells you that you're not going to have you're not going to have any issues with the devil. It's not in the Bible. But don't accept his plan. When your stuff starts showing up in your life, that's not God's plan for my life. That's the devil's plan. I'm not accepting it. I'm not going to just live with it. Well, anyway, that's the way I feel about it. How about you? I'm not going to just live with this. It's not going to happen. Now, go to James chapter 4. Come on, you get something out of this morning or tonight. James chapter 4, let's go there. I want to look at a few things tonight just to show you, you know, never surrender. Don't ever give up. Don't ever surrender. Amen.
Amen.
Don't give up. You know, I told you this story. It's a true story, but you've heard it before, but I heard the story. A pastor told the story. I had somebody in her congregation, and they had a cancerous tumor in their body. And, you know, they began to believe God for that to be healed of that, for that, you know, to be cursed and to die. And they had to go back in, you know. They were scheduled for surgery to get it taken out because, you know, God's not against medicine and doctors. He just wants you well.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But, you know, it's always, you know, it's always nice if you don't have to go to the doctor, you know what I'm saying? You know, they make you wait. That's why they call it a waiting room.
Amen.
You know, and they charge you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're mighty proud. Amen. I mean, you know, I can buy aspirin for a lifetime for what one would cost you at deaconess. Just one, man. I could take that money and have them the rest of my life. So we're not against that. We're not against that. You know, God, you know, there's different ways to receive healing and deliverance. But this lady was, you know, she was believing God, but she was scheduled to have her surgery. So she went back, and she was totally expecting it to be gone. She said, you know, had them to run that scan thing, whatever it is, over her body, you know, to whatever you call it. But, CT thing. And she said, they get to that part of my body, and she said, I'm looking on this TV, and there's that tumor. And she said, I felt my heart drop. Because she said, I was expecting it to be gone. And she said, my heart dropped. And she said, Lord, I thought that would be gone. She says, so we walked by. She said, the Lord spoke back to her just a minute. Said, so now we walk by sight, not by faith? She said, that's right. Now see, the Lord spoke that to her. I mean, I said the Lord spoke that to her. He said, now we walk by sight, not by faith? And she said, well, that's right. I still believe it's going to be gone. And all, and she said, when she said that, bloop, that thing disappeared. She said, the nurse came over and said, where'd it go? Well, you know, who was telling me the other day said their wife was scheduled for surgery for a brain tumor, and they were believing God, you know, and this, you know, they took her into surgery and all, you know, it still showed up, you know, and they took her into surgery. And said that, you know, hours later, the surgeon came out and said, well, I don't know what happened, but we can't find it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, you'd like for that to happen before you went in there. But, you know, whatever. At least, you know, God got rid of it. So it's a pretty good, clean job, right? Amen. You know, sometimes they might leave a little bit behind. God's not going to leave any behind. So my point in telling that story was this woman, you know, she started to surrender. But no, I'm not surrendering.
Come on.
Well, what if I would die, Pastor? Well, you'd be going into heaven victorious because you kept your faith.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. I'd rather die in faith than die in doubt.
Come on.
Amen. You know. So go to James chapter 4, verse 7, and the Bible says in verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now let's say it this way, submit yourself to God's plan, resist the devil's plan, and he'll flee from you. Wouldn't that be right? See, Peter said the devil goes around seeking whom he may devour. And then he told us what to do, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So if we don't resist his plan, he's going to devour us. Is that right? That's the way I read that. See, that's what Paul said. Don't give him any place. That word place is like, it means ground. Don't give him any ground. Don't give him any ground. Amen. And so, you know, you got to have that mentality. I'm not going to surrender to the devil. Amen. You know, my uncle, he's in heaven now. He died at 95, and he was a little guy. But he was rough. You know, he was a World War II vet, you know, and a boxer in the military, you know, Golden Gloves champion, I think, at one time, for his weight division. So my grandpa on my dad's side was weighed 106 pounds. That's right, 106 pounds. I weigh him by 20 or 30 pounds. Well, give or take. But he was a little bitty guy. And so my Uncle Dick was a little guy, you know. He was a little bitty guy, you know. And so but Dick was, Uncle Dick was in Patton's Army, the Third Army, during World War II. Battle of the Bastogne, how many Army buffs? Battle of the Bulge, he fought the Battle of the Bulge, you know. But, you know, and I talked to him one day about Patton, you know, about what he was like, you know, and all. And you know what I got from him is Patton didn't have surrender in his vocabulary. He said, when we got to the Battle of the Bulge, he said, Patton called, got us all together. He said, you see those two big army trucks over there? He said, we are gonna win this. If we have to carry all your dog tags back in that truck, we are still gonna win this fight. So he didn't, you know, and of course, you know, that maybe wasn't the greatest thing to say to guys getting ready to go into battle, but he said that's what he said. My uncle said he didn't like Patton, for the record, anyway, so I never did like him. But anyway, but, you know, and there were a lot of people who didn't like him, but they'd follow him anywhere he went because they knew they was going to come out. And so, you know, but anyway, so the thing is there wasn't any quit or surrender in him, you know. And I know he had some rough edges, and he did some things that, you know, that our government didn't like, but sometimes I'm convinced they should have left him and MacArthur alone. Anyway, praise God. Good preaching, Pastor. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, and so, you know, we can't give him any ground. We can't surrender. We can't surrender because his plan's not a good plan. I'm telling you, if you let him have his plan in your life and just leave him unchecked, it's not a good thing. I mean, he come to kill, steal, and destroy. And I don't understand why people are getting out of church today. But so many believers are just getting out. They come every now and then, every once in a while. They're just giving into the devil's plan. He's going to get them. It's just a matter of time before he's going to nab them. Because once you get away from the flock and out there by yourself, that's when the lion's going to get you. And so, you know, I'm just seeing that. I'm seeing it in our church. It's not just our church. It's churches all over the United States, maybe all over the world. I don't know. But, you know, people, you know, those faithful for years, and now you see them once every, you know, 3 weeks or something like that. You know, it's like, well, I'm just too busy. Well, you're going to get got. Well, I can do it by myself. Well, that shows you're already had. When you think you can make it without a pastor, without other believers, without being in the house of God, you're already nabbed. You don't know it, but you're on your way down. Oh, no, not me. Well, that's what that little lamb out there by itself jumping around thinks until the wolf gets it. Come on. And so we have to understand, you know, you're just falling for the devil's plan. That's just working his plan in your life just so he can pull you aside and get you.
Amen.
It's not the Spirit of God telling you to stay away from the house of God.
No.
Those are deceiving, deceptive spirits.
Amen.
Seducing spirits that Paul said would come in the last days. He said that in the last days, many would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, deceiving spirits. What, you know, a person that's deceived doesn't know they're deceived because they're deceived. But if you'll just listen, we'll tell you, you're deceived. Wake up. Get back in the house of God. Amen. Well, I'm making it so far. Well, all right. So far you are, but that's just so far. It's like Brother Osteen told one guy, so, well, I'm wealthy and I don't tithe. Told Brother John Osteen one time. Yeah, I'm wealthy and, you know, Brother Osteen teaches non-tithe. Well, I'm wealthy and I don't tithe. Cocky, arrogant thing. I like what Brother Osteen, he patted him on the shoulder. He said, son, just wait till the weasel hits the chicken coop. How many know what a weasel is? Yeah, your neighbor. No. How many understand what was Brother Osteen saying? There's a day coming. You may think you're all cocky and you made your own money and you're good, but there's a day coming when the attack hits, you don't got any defense. You're going to get nailed, see. Well, that's just the way it is. See, people don't understand, but this was just a plan of the devil. The devil just, these seducing, deceiving spirits. You know, the media made fun of our former vice president, Mike Pence, because he said he wouldn't dine with a woman besides his wife or family member by himself. And they just went all over that like, you know, and what's with this old foggy? Well, he got some common sense about him to realize you don't give the devil an inch. You don't surrender to his plan. He's got a plan for you. Don't you know that? He's got somebody out there just waiting on you, whether you believe it or not. They would like to trip you up. They're sent by the devil. And sometimes they come to church.
Come on.
Oh, yeah, I've ran into them before. Sometimes they come to church, and you got to realize that, you know, that sweet sister or sweet brother, they ain't all they're cracked out to be. Sometimes they're a wolf.
Come on.
Hallelujah. This is good preaching. I think Doc's anointing's still here or something. I don't know. But, you know, the thing of it is we have to understand and recognize the devil's plan. Resist the devil. Resist his plan, and he'll flee from you. Put your foot down. Well, how long will I have to do that? Well, I don't know, but just that's just what we do. I mean, Job, he was in his trial, they say, for 9 months. I don't know. But he never did give in, did he? He didn't give in to the devil's plan. He didn't. He stuck with God through the whole thing. Now, here's the thing about Job. He deserves double honor because he thought it was God doing it to him. He didn't know. Now, listen, you understand, he didn't have the New Testament. He didn't have the Bible to read. They just thought everything that happened, God did it. So he said, you know, if he slays me, I'm going to serve him. Well, I'm thinking this guy, he deserves double honor. We know it's the devil, and then we leave church. Because God didn't do anything about it. How many know in the New Testament, he gave us authority?
Yes. Yes.
Remember when the disciples got in that boat with Jesus and that storm came up and he's asleep in the Lord said something to me about that this afternoon as I was getting ready for church. He slept through the whole thing. I'm thinking, how does Jesus sleep through all this? You know, and then he finally gets up and rebukes it, and then he gets on to the disciples and says, where's your faith? I saw something out of that, Pastor Chuck. I saw, if it seems like Jesus is sleeping through your storm, that's because you're supposed to get up and do something about it.
Amen.
You ever gone through a storm? Think, God fell asleep. And this movie's still going. Maybe he's asleep because you're supposed to do something about it. You're supposed to take the authority. You're supposed to... Come on, are you with me now? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Now, let's go to Matthew 16. All right? Matthew 16. I got just a little bit more here. Matthew 16. Well, if you've never been there, well, you felt like God fell asleep, man. What happened to God? No, he didn't. He gave us authority. Amen. And so, you know, I preached on this in Honduras years ago. It's our authority. God gave us authority, right?
Right.
But it's God's ability.
Right.
See? And his ability doesn't get released until we take our authority.
Right.
See? Didn't Jesus say, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth, therefore you go? So if we don't go, guess what? The authority doesn't get exercised. See, we have to take our part and then God's ability. And just keep, you know, we talked about this last week, having done all to stand, therefore just keep standing. Having done all. Amen. Amen. To stand, therefore. See. So we have to understand the devil's got plans, and he'll try to work his plans in our life. Amen. You know, and so we need to understand. See, even good people, even preachers, sometimes they get in trouble because, you know, they end up letting the devil work his plan in their life, and then they get in a mess or they die young or something like that, you know. You know, Brother Hagin said, Jesus told him, he said, a lot of my preachers die young because they never continue on in their ministry, phases of their ministry. They don't seek me. They don't follow me. They die young because of this. Yeah. That's what the Lord told Jesus. Or Jesus told Brother Hagin. A lot of ministers, he said, die young because, you know, they don't stay in the plan of God. They get over it. You understand what I'm saying? See, it'd just be easy for a pastor to come in, you know, and they're pastoring a church, and, you know, and maybe, you know, they're staying away in crowds, kind of like tonight. It'd be real easy for you to just book it and go south, wouldn't it? Do you know how many churches need pastors? There's thousands of ministers quitting the ministry every month. There's a shortage of pastors in the United States. A lot of churches got people that are in the congregation leading now because they can't get a pastor. I had a church ask me a couple, 3 years ago, one of the guys from the church said, well, you know, maybe you could be our pastor. I'm already pastoring, brother. And this is a denominational church. I speak in tongues. I pray for the sick. I say, Hama shaga hubba. I don't think you're going to like that. You know, but what the problem is, they could come pastor the flock. And there's a church there, a church building, paid for, I think. All that. They can't get anybody come. Well, what happens? A lot of times preachers, they just jump. You know, preachers can be just as flaky as people out there. Just like people jump from church to church and church say, God's leading me. God, yeah, God, all right. God's not that confused. But preachers can do the same thing. Well, you know, one minute I'm apostle, now I'm prophet over here, now I'm pastor down here. Well, you know, you get where you're following the devil's plan and not God's plan for your life. And that's going to shorten your life if you keep doing that, see. You got to get in the will of God for your life. I don't know about you, but I want in the good, the perfect, acceptable will of God for my life. Amen. Thank God. Well, you know, I just think I'll marry him because he's got a hairy chest. Well, you better marry him because it's the plan of God, right? Or her, right? You know, because that hairy chest is going to turn gray. You know this underneath here? Pastor always, Dr. Barclay says, that used to be my forehead. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you got to make sure that you marry the right one that loves you when your forehead's under your chin. I went into Pastor Debbie's bathroom, Phyllis and I were over their house, and I came out and I said, boy, I both my chins are cute. You know, and that six pack becomes a keg. You still got to have somebody that loves you. And that's why you got to be in the will of God, because if you're not in the will of God, then the spiritual things don't work right. See, and they'll book it, and when you get 40 and get two 20s. Oh, yeah, Christians do these things. Oh, yeah, Dr. Dufresne had a guy in his line one time, prayer line. He's just praying for people. You know, you're just being nice and praying for people for healing. You think most people get in there are fairly intelligent. And he runs into this one guy, and the guy says, I want you to pray that God will give me another wife. He said, another wife? You got one now? Yeah, but her hips are too big. You'd had to know Dr. Dufresne. How many were here when he came? Yeah, yeah, he was a wild man. So Dr. Dufresne said, how many kids has your wife had? He said, six. He said, let's pass six kids through your hips and see how big they are. Get out of my line. You're a nut. Well, that was the end of that. You say, I don't think there's goofy people like that in church. Well, not in ours. Right? But you, Kyle, many churches I've been to over the years and been around many Christians have I been around, you think, my gosh, sinners had more sense than that. Hallelujah. Come on, where did I tell you to go? Matthew? Let's go there. Matthew chapter 16. Praise God. We're going everywhere tonight. This is good for us. Matthew 16. Look at verse 19. I like this. He says, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, he's not, you know, I know he's not, he said this to Peter, but he's not just talking to Peter. And then see verse 18. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, which means rock, a piece of a rock. And upon this rock, or the massive rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What's he talking about? Well, the revelation that Peter had was Jesus was the Christ, the anointed one. So Jesus said, I'm going to build my church on that anointing, see. And the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And I'm going to give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I've heard preachers say, well, he gave the keys to Peter. Wait a minute here. If he gave the keys to Peter, Peter's done gone on to heaven. We don't have any keys. He gave the keys to the church. Notice it says keys. Right? You know, this church, there's more than one key. There's a key that opens that front door out there. But that key that opens that front door doesn't open all the doors in this church. Doesn't unlock these side doors here. Doesn't unlock my office door. Doesn't unlock Phyllis's office door. Doesn't unlock, you know, whatever else gets locked. It doesn't open those. Right? So you could get in the church, but you can't get in every room. Now, if we gave you the keys to the church, you can get in every room. See, Jesus didn't give us the key to the kingdom. He gave us the keys to the kingdom. Not only can we get in, but there's other rooms to explore. Hallelujah. Rooms of blessing. Rooms of deliverance. Right? Amen. Rooms of finances. There's all kinds of rooms in this kingdom. And he said, I'm going to give you the keys. Now, he said, whatever you bind, whatever you loose. See, what that means is whatever you allow, whatever you forbid, heaven will allow or heaven will forbid. If you allow it in your life, heaven will allow it. If you forbid it, heaven will forbid it. It's just really that simple. See, you know, a lot of times, and I know this goes against a lot of religious teaching, but, you know, a lot of people say, well, God's sovereign, and whatever happens in your life, that's just the will of God. Well, you know, the Bible rebukes that all over the place. Think about it, see. Just think about the Bible. It rebukes that all over the place. No, if you allow something, God will allow it. Didn't say he commissioned it, but you're the deciding factor. What did he say? Whatever you bind, whatever you loose. If you allow something in your life, then it'll be allowed. If you forbid it, it'll be forbidden. Think about this. You know, there's a story in Luke. I like this story. Luke chapter 13. There's a woman. She's been going to church for 18 years, the synagogue. And the Bible says she's, however you say it, bowed or bowed over. Like this, she can't straighten up. And she comes into the synagogue, and Jesus is in there. And he hollers at her. He says, woman, you're loosed from your infirmity. Well, she's not, physically. But he's telling her what belonged to her. How many know there was healing under the old covenant? You're loosed from your infirmity. And the Bible said he went over and laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And they all got mad, you know, because they healed on the wrong day. You know, like there's a right day to heal on and a wrong. I mean, Jesus said, man, if your donkey fell in a ditch on the Sabbath, you'd get it out. Not this woman be loosed. Being a daughter of Abraham on the Sabbath day, be loosed from this bond. He said, think of it. 18 years, he said, she's had this. Shouldn't she be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day because she's a daughter of Abraham? What's Abraham got to do with it? It's covenant. is covenant. She has a right to be healed. So let me ask you, was it the will of God for her to be healed 18 years ago?
Yes.
It sure was. So if it was up to God's will, this woman wouldn't have had that for 18 years. It's because she didn't know. Nobody told her. And she, for some reason, didn't discover it herself. You know, it's a little easier today to discover these things because we all got Bibles. We all got preachers that tell us. But anyway, Jesus just simply, what did he do? He disengaged the plan of Satan in this woman's life and engaged the plan of God for her, which is for her to be loosed. Ooh, that's God's plan. That's why Paul said, so you got to stick, everybody say, stick with it. Never surrender. That's why Paul said, we shall reap if we faint not. Now listen, we shall reap in what? Do what? Due season. You stick with it, there's a season coming. And it's going to be a good season. Right? You just stay with it, there's going to be a season coming. Now, notice, if you do what the Bible says, it's due. What's it mean when the electric bill's due?
Pay.
Means pay, right? If you don't pay, what happens? Lights go off. Right?
Yep.
I mean, if you come home, you're sitting in there watching the TV, eating some popcorn, you know, and all of a sudden all the lights go out and everybody else's is on, and you go out and check all the breakers, and they're all good, but everybody's got power around you. You know what the next thing to do is? Check and see where the electric bill's at. It might have been due. See, if we do what God says, we got a season coming. We got a due season coming. It's just part of God's laws of sowing and reaping. Amen? All right. Come on, let's go to one last scripture. Isaiah 54. I hope you got something tonight. Isaiah 54, let's go there. Amen. Just keep your eyes on heaven's plan. See, that's what the Bible talked about when it says, you know, don't look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Keep your eyes on heaven's plan. Amen. It's like we were talking when Pastor was here about those clouds. He's talking about those clouds he saw. He didn't tell that whole story, but it's fascinating when he saw those. It's just fascinating. He was in a prayer meeting, or he's in a meeting with Brother Hagin and some other ministers, and they were sitting on the front row. Brother Hagin's behind the pulpit leading the service, and they have a spirit of prayer hits him, so he begins to pray, and he sees this vision of this dark cloud coming into the world, and he said in it was every kind of damnable thing you could think of. Then he said he saw a light cloud coming in. It was full of the goodness of God, and he saw that. And then the vision was over. And then the meeting was dismissed, and the ministers went to the minister's room after the service, and Brother Hagin's back there. And, of course, Dr. Barclay at this time is quite a bit younger than he is right now. And so, you know, he's kind of a younger minister. And so he thought, you know, I'm not going to tell. You know, he wants to tell Brother Hagin what he saw, but he doesn't want to just presume to go up to Brother Kenneth E. Hagin and tell him, guess what I saw, after Brother Hagin's had 8 visitations from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, it's kind of like, I don't really want to tell this guy about what I saw. I mean, my gosh, I want to hear what he saw. You know, so he said, you know, time went by, and Brother Hagin edged over there by him, and he said to Dr. Barclay, he said, I saw those clouds you saw tonight. Ooh, that'll give you goosebumps. See, he saw the same thing. Now that's all, and it's like you said, that one cloud's already here. It's already here. It's over America. It's going to get worse, but the glory. Hallelujah. Now, see, that's what we got to focus on is the glory, not the dark cloud. God's plan. This is God's plan. That's the devil's plan. But what I am so concerned about in our day is there's so many believers that are just really have lost their fire. They're going to get sucked into that cloud. Now, they may not want to, but they're going to because they're... See, what did Paul say? Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Yeah. See, they're trying to approach you from the backside. I'm not going to walk in the flesh. I'm not going to walk in the flesh. It doesn't work that way. You got to walk in the Spirit to keep you out of the flesh. If you don't walk in the Spirit, you'll automatically be in the flesh. So if you don't do the things of the Spirit, you're by default, you're going there. You may not want to go there, but you're going there. And that's just what they don't see. And God just had me to warn lately about that. And I have been for about a year and a half about, man, come on, get with it. Get with the program. Don't be one of the foolish virgins that runs out of oil that doesn't have extra oil. It's going to take extra oil in the end times. What you were living off of in the 80s won't work in 2021.
Right.
You got to have some more. Why? The darkness is greater. It's greater. We got to have more of the glory, more of the anointing, more of the oil in us. And so that's going to require not less church, but more church. More in the things of God. Amen. So, Isaiah 54, you found it? Verse 17, I love this scripture. Anybody know where I'm going? Don't you like this scripture? No weapon, no plan that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. That's God on our side, isn't it? See, what's he saying? Don't let the devil talk you out of this right here. He didn't say weapons wouldn't be formed against you. He didn't say plans wouldn't be formed against you. He said they're not going to prosper.
That's right.
They're not going to prosper.
That's right.
My goodness, I've seen that over the years. Where, yeah, plans were, you know, plans were made, but they didn't prosper.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. I'm thinking about a woman that we had come and preach for us back in the 80s. And this, now listen, some of the things I don't know how much I'll share her testimony. We're running out of time here. But some of it is so outstanding that if it wasn't, you know how the Bible, in Luke, it talks about infallible proofs? I mean, people that knew this woman and saw this woman. This woman was dying of cancer. Matter of fact, they had her wrapped to keep her skin on her flesh. That's how bad it was. My mother said she saw her before she was healed. Mom was a spirit-filled believer in those days. And she saw her before she was healed. And Mom said you could just about literally read a newspaper through her skin. It was that thin and that degraded and that ate up and that gone. She was in a full body cast. A full body cast. And to keep everything together. And, you know, if that cast came off, she died. That was it. There was no help for her. And her doctor, you know, was not a believer. Matter of fact, he was pretty anti, to be honest with you. And, but he was her doctor. But she said one night she lived in a house trailer. Her name was Rose. And one night she had a visitation from Jesus. And he said, Rose, take your bandages off. I'm healing you. You know, because she's been standing for healing. And due season came.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Due season came. Now, you know, I mean, this woman suffered some things, and the devil's trying to work his plan, but she never gave up. And one night she said she was in her house trailer, and the Lord just told her, said, Rose, I'm healing you. Take your bandages off. Now, this was God telling her this. You don't just do this because you thought it up. But the Lord told her, because they told her, you take this stuff off. This is what's holding you together, you know, lady. She began to take those off, and she had new skin on her. She did. Now, my mom's not making up stuff. She saw her before she was healed. She saw her. She was a local lady that lived in the area. And she went to her doctor to get the cast taken off. I mean, you know, I guess she could have got a Sawzall and sawed it off herself, but, you know, who wants to risk that? So she goes to the doctor, and he's like, I'm not taking it off. And she just was insistent, you're taking it off. He said, okay, I'll take it off. He said, but as soon as I take it off, you're going to fall over dead. And he took it off, and Rose lived.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And, you know, you'd think the guy would have got saved, but he cursed God and said, I don't believe any of this, and walked out. Well, so what? You didn't change that. You know, that's bad. But nobody could deny Rose was healed. You see what I'm saying? Infallible. Because if you knew her, you knew she was healed. You saw her one day, she's got the bandages on. The next day, she's got the cast off and it's all off. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, Brother Hagin was preaching in this church, you know, and this, I think it was a woman from the Baptist church came, you know. Thank God for the Baptists. But she was, couldn't walk, you know, in a wheelchair thing, you know. And God healed her that night. She got out of that wheelchair. Amen. And then she went to her church, you know, and some people in her church said, well, the devil did it. Yeah, right. You know, how the devil went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of him. No, how Jesus did that. But thank God for a good pastor. He came to the meeting. After he saw her healed, well, he said, I know her. She's one of my sheep. She couldn't walk before. Now she can walk. She's healed. I'm going to that meeting. So, you know, they set, in those days, they would have platform. They'd set chairs up on a platform. All the preachers would sit up there like overstuffed toads. And they'd set up, you know, some of them would be real proud, you know, I'm, you know. And then, anyway, you know, that was kind of a joke. But anyway, you didn't receive it as a joke. But anyway, they were all sitting up there. All right. And so this preacher says to Brother Hagin, he says, can I have your notes on healing? It's a Baptist pastor. He said, some of the people in my church told me the devil healed her. He said, but I got enough sense to know the devil's not healing the Baptist. He said, I want your notes. I'm going to preach on healing in my church Sunday morning. And he sure enough did. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So the devil may form weapons, but they're not going to prosper. Amen. You just got to look at the right thing. Remember when Peter got out of the boat? Remember that when Jesus came walking on the water and he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And the Lord said, come. And Peter gets out and he's doing fine until he looks at the waves and the wind. You know, and I guess you can't say the wind, but he saw the waves boisterous. You know, the wind's blowing. And he became afraid and began to sink. Remember that? See what happened here? Well, he's looking at God's plan is for him to walk on the water. That's Jesus, right? He said, come. The devil's plan is to get you to sink and drown. He got his eyes off God's plan. Got his eyes on the devil's plan, and he began to sink. Thank God for the mercy of God. Jesus reached out and grabbed him. And when he got him in the boat, listen to what he said. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, I thought about that. I thought, now, wait a minute here. Peter got out of the boat. I don't know about you. But stepping over the edge of that, you know, you got to step over the, how many ever been in a boat? They got an edge to them, you know, they're not flat unless it's a raft, you know. This is a boat. He has to step over the, this is out on the sea. He has to step out over the edge, out into the water, and Jesus said, oh, thou of little faith. I'm thinking, my gosh, he's got me beat tenfold already. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But I saw something about that. Little faith gets out. Little faith will get out on the plan of God. Now why? Because the plan of God's good. So little faith will step out, but if you're going to stay out, it takes great faith. Because once you step out, that's when you're going to see the storms. That's when you're going to see the waves. And that's when it takes the great faith to stay out there. Anybody can step out because you're getting promised something really good. I mean, the scripture we talked about tonight, my God shall supply all your need. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to get out on that. But then you get out there and all kinds of hell breaks loose. Now you got to stay out. That's where it takes great faith. I've seen that over the years where we get out, you know, but people don't stay out. Had a lady come to the meeting in Huntingburg one night. She went to one of the most unbelieving churches that there ever was. They believed everything had passed away. Everything. No healings, no miracles, no signs, no wonders. Jesus is on life support. Not sure if he's going to make it. One of them kind of churches. And her brother brought her, you know, that's the only reason she was there, brother brought her. and her sister-in-law brought her. And God healed her that night before the service was over. And this, you know, we have altar call at the end of the service normally. That's what it was that night. Altar call at the end of the service. Her eyes were all swollen and all. I don't remember exactly what was going on with her eyes. But we prayed for her. Before we dismissed the service, she was healed. She was one fired up lady, I'm telling you. She even like, can I go to your house afterwards? Remember that? She wanted to come to our house. And she did come to our house afterwards. And so we could talk some more with her, you know, about what had happened and all. And she's fired up for a while, but then she went back to that dead church. And they started telling her it wasn't God. And then, you know, Phyllis may not remember, but I remember it distinctly. We got letters from her for a while, and they were all excited letters thanking, praising God for what had happened. And then all of a sudden they started to turn dark, and it's like, this isn't of God, you know. And, woman, you got healed. What are you talking about? It's not a God. That's how stupid religion is.
Yeah.
But what is it? Well, the devil's got that church on his plan. Stay on God's plan. Are you with me now? You ever heard of diet plans, right? What are y'all laughing about? Travis says, yeah, I'm on one right now. Okay. How many know? A lot of people go on diet plans. Man, I've had friends that, you know, it seems like every time I see them, they're on some kind of plan, you know. This plan, you know, you got the South Beach, Weight Watchers. They had one years ago where you took the shots, you know, and stuff. They all went around, and people helped some people. You know, some of that helps people. But, you know, here's what it comes down to. The science doesn't change no matter what plan you're on. The science doesn't change. The science stays the same. You got to eat less, amen, and burn more calories. That's the only way it works. However you arrive at that, you got to do that. Where they wire your mouth shut or what? But you got to arrive at that, right? You know, I mean, I've even had, like, I'm thinking about one relative of ours that had the stomach thing, you know, where they, I don't know, where they ban it or they take half of it out or I don't know, you know, staple it, yeah. And they do, and he lost weight. But you know what the thing of it is? All we're doing here is we're cutting your portions back. That's it. Pastor Jerry's about to pass out right now just talking about this. I mean, you know, what? The plan, even though the plan may change, the principles, they stay the same. And I don't care what thing the devil throws at you, his principles are still the same. He may make it look good, but it's all to kill, steal, and destroy. It all comes down to the same thing. So that's just like with diet. It comes down to this. You can't eat like a stump grubber unless you're grubbing stumps. That went over some of y'all's head. That's maybe a little too country for you.
Right.
Amen. You just can't. You see, and that's the way it is with the devil. He packages it different, but it's all the same thing. Kill, steal, and destroy you.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.